Hi, and welcome to the 5-Minute Business Boost, where you get to choose your 5-Minute Investment. I'm your host, Sam Hicks, and I'll be discussing topics under the headings of business development, marketing, photography, and much more. Welcome to this episode of the 5-Minute Business Boost. Today I'm raising awareness of challenges facing small businesses in regional Victoria. But first, there are two items I must share. New to the podcast and really the newsletter as well, the newsy, I'm calling out in a good way three businesses who are leading the way and inspiring us all. Check out their links in the notes and via the newsletter. And something new for startups and or small businesses who need a kickstart. First, our three inspirations this week. Farmers Pick, Kissabel, Apple Trial. Melbourne's Farmers Pick is testing the unique red-fleshed Kissabel apple in its produce boxes for 2 weeks, gathering customer feedback to local farmers' future plantings. Check it out at farmerspick.com.au. It's a real ripper and just BTW, the apples are beautiful. Number two, Street Bakery. Now, it's not spelt like street. It's S-T-R-E-A-T. Bakery is baking up a change. Street in Melbourne combines artisan baking with social impact, training and employing young people facing homelessness or disadvantage. Check them out at www.street.com.au. And the third one is Geelong Renewable Energy Hub, powering local businesses. So the Geelong Renewable Energy Hub helps Victorian businesses transition to clean energy with bulk by solar, battery storage and efficiency training. Check them out at geelongrenewableenergyhub.com.au. Also this week, and before we dive back in, I just wanted to let you know something new that I've put together. It's called the Small Business Kickstarter Kit. If you've been feeling all over the place with your planning or your marketing, this kit will help you get sorted really quickly. You'll have a one-page business plan, a social media calendar, a marketing checklist, plus 10 Canva templates and a quick start video from me walking you through it. It's an instant download. You can grab it right now at samhicks.com.au. That's my website and you'll see it right there on the homepage. But let's get back to why we are here this week. Did you know there is about 2.6 million small businesses trading in Australia, making up 97% of all businesses and employing more than 5.4 million Australians? Small businesses are the backbone of our communities. Now, as a small business owner, you're going to go, yes, so, Sam, we know this. But we contribute nearly one-third of the nation's GDP and powering both city and rural economics. Economies, I think, would be the better word. Small businesses are just not economic, and I always get that word upside down, back to front, economic engines. They're the heartbeats of regional communities. And anybody that's in regional Victoria, you know, we provide essential jobs, deliver personalised services, and foster a spirit of innovation and resilience that keeps our towns vibrant and connected. Understanding the breadth and depth of these enterprises is key to supporting them through today's challenges. In Victoria alone, the number of new businesses has risen sharply over the last 5 years, which is absolutely astounding since we've had a crap time the last couple of years. So there's more than 113,000 new ventures launching statewide, and that's an increase of 18%, the highest in Australia. But we all know there's a hell of a lot more who are actually retiring, selling up, or going insolvent. Anyway, in this episode, I'll be sharing insights from my recent report to the Victorian Small Business Commissioner and our local government area. And this is built on real conversations and the lived experience of the small business owners. Now, disclaimer. My report, which I cannot showcase in detail here as I'd be here all day and you'd all go to sleep, was created from feedback and comments from clients from multiple sectors and fellow business advisors. When I emailed and reached out to business owners directly and asked that question, what are our small business challenges right now? So many of you, hopefully you're listening today, were very quick to reply And I thank them and you, if you're listening, for your candor and your willingness to share insights. So let's unpack the biggest challenges facing small businesses in regional Victoria right now. And I know whether you're metro or regional, probably a lot of this will resonate with you, okay? Because we're all the same. It doesn't matter where we live or where we play or where we work. Okay, so who are our small businesses? Regional Victoria is built on small businesses of every kind: trade, services, farms, retail producers, creatives, market storeholders, event suppliers, and that's just the beginning. Our local economy thrives on thanks to a very diverse mix. It also includes hospitality, accommodation providers, health and allied services, construction, landscaping businesses, transport, logistical operators, educators, trainers, professional services like accounting and IT, manufacturers and processors, tourism and adventure companies, automotive and mechanical specialists, gardeners, cleaning service, innovative, sustainability-driven enterprises. What a mouthful and what a huge sentence, but that's us. So picture the local builder, tradesperson or winemaker, the cafe owner serving their community, the mechanic keeping vehicles running, or someone managing a shopfront while raising a family. Rural micro-businesses might operate out of sheds or at home offices. They might be producing boutique foods and crafts or managing small fleet servicing outlying districts. Each business plays a personal and vital role, often extending far beyond transactions. They're mentoring apprentices, sponsoring soccer teams, or volunteering at local events. Small businesses wear multiple hats. We foster local jobs, we contribute far beyond our bottom line, and sustaining or trying to sustain community resilience. Victoria's regional sectors, from agricultural and food production to accommodation, tourism, retail, manufacturing, health and professional services, collectively provide essential services and employment. For example, small businesses deliver over 41% of the private sector workforce in Australia, and micro businesses with fewer than five employees, who are mostly run by mum and dads or single parents or individuals, represent the majority of active traders. So what are the big challenges? Now, there's quite a few, people, so hang on to your hat. Burnout and mental note is one. Owners manage staff shortages, rising costs, compliance, marketing, and much more, all while trying to present for their families. Many do feel alone and unseen by policymakers. Nearly 81% of small business leaders still report optimism about the future, but behind the scenes, many are stretched and are at risk of burnout. Running a small business in the country means your work and home life often blur together, making downtime even harder to find. And I don't know about you, but they seem to fall into a couple of different categories: younger business owners and older business owners. And one of my big personal concerns is, what's going to happen to all these businesses run by older people? People are not buying businesses. You know, there are some businesses in our regional areas, like news agencies and so forth, that can't find new buyers, so they close. Rising costs and slim margins, this is another one. We all know it. Operational costs are climbing. Don't let me bang on today about insurance. It's one of my pet peeves. Rent, energy, and supplies. Victoria's small businesses are walking a financial tightrope at the moment, and about 20% of new businesses are still failing in their first year, and nearly 60% are closing within 3 years. Not much has changed over the last couple of years. Insolvencies are rising, especially in hospitality and retail. Even small costs or increases can mean the difference between keeping staff or reducing hours. And most owners feel constant pressure to balance affordability for customers with survival of their own businesses. Forestry changes. This is another big one. Native forest logging is being phased out. It's transforming our regional economies. Sawmills, contractors, tourism, hospitality and supply chains connected to forestry face significant uncertainty and are being asked to adapt quickly while communities rely on government transition programs. How successful it is, I don't think it is at the moment. It's only a personal opinion. I've got nothing to base that on. But fingers crossed, it does make some positive change and impact. Staffing, hospitality, trades and seasonal jobs are being impacted by staff shortages and affordable housing. Businesses often rely on family or work longer hours themselves. You know, I've seen hotels and motels that have great grandma answering the phone so they can turn over rooms and clean. This is how it is at the moment. When employment gaps appear, rural owners may need to train unskilled staff on the job or cut service hours, making local recruitment and retention a continual challenge. Cash flow and access to capital. God, this is a big bugbear too. You know, delayed payments, tightened lending criteria and patchy banking services outside cities in our regional areas means cash flow is a daily struggle. Many businesses seek alternative financing and risk instability as operating expenses outpace receipts. Digital struggles. 76% of small businesses are increasing investment in digital tools, but many owners are time poor and need trusted training to confidently navigate online systems. Adopting website bookings or e-commerce is vital, and yet it demands learning technology that's constantly changing. And let's not speak about the rising costs of monthly subscriptions and the need for hardware updates and connectivity issues on top of it. Thank God for Starlink and increases in infrastructure with NBN. There's enthusiasm but also concern about finding local support when things do go wrong. Cybersecurity risks and digital fraud are growing threats, with regional operators feeling undersupported and overwhelmed. Isolation and lack of connection is another big one. Events like the historic festival, which injected more than $15 million into the Wimmera-Mallory region but was cancelled in 2025 due to last-minute permit changes, shows the ripple effect uncertainty has on regional communities. And I know I've spoken to so many event organisers and they worry now. They worry about whether or not they can secure insurance, whether or not their permits will get through in time, because a lot of them are investing a lot of time and volunteer time into these events. And the loss of such gatherings do impact more than just direct revenue. It's that loss of connection, learning, and a sense of belonging that can be lost for months or years. Some of these events that are not running anymore may never rise again, may never come back onto our yearly calendars. Our regional events are really vital for these connections, economic benefits, and providing opportunities for small businesses to be a part of these events. Just look at the rise of small markets in your local area to see how vital these little events are for our regions. Compliance and red tape. This was one of the biggest bugbears when I was speaking to small business owners. The regulatory burdens, you know, business licensing, council permits, food safety requirements, new energy standards, and grant reporting. All of these things, when you're a small business owner, swallow time and resources. You know, the Victorian government reforms are going to target $500 million into regulatory cost relief for businesses by 2030. But, you know, like, here we are in 2025. And I don't know about you, but most business owners I spoke to often spend their weekends sorting paperwork, wishing for clearer guidance. Many I spoke to complained about duplication and the long wait times for approvals. And many conversations I've had with government staff over the last 12 months in a variety of departments spoke of being severely understaffed and completing huge hours each week and still feel like they were not gaining much traction. Cost of living and customer demand. We live in difficult times now, people, rising household costs. I mean, we talked about this week as a family, you know, when we used to put $50 worth of groceries in a supermarket trolley, used to fill it up. Now it hardly makes a third of the trolley. And, you know, this is all adding. So this means that us and many local residents are spending less. You know, it's leading to lower sales in hospitality, retail, and attendances, events and so forth. You know, businesses must navigate changing consumer priorities while absorbing their own cost increases. And us as customers, we've changed. So many people have this ability now to be, you know, having this heightened sense of entitlement. And, you know, when you speak to business owners, you know, they're saying things like, oh, Sam, you know, people turn up and they expect it, you know, right now, but, you know, we've got no staff. Things take longer. And I think we all just need to take a deep breath and understand that, you know, hospitality and retail businesses, as like all businesses, are under a huge amount of pressure at the moment. Competition and side hustles. An upswing in startups and side hustle means increased competition, and that's great, but it means a shrinking market share for many established small businesses. Differentiation and smart marketing strategies are essential for survival, but as a small business owner, you've got to make time for that, and you've got to have a good understanding. Industry-specific pressures. Agriculture faces climate change, bushfires, water access and biosecurity threats. Construction deals with labour shortages and supply delays. Tourism is being impacted by environmental regulations and reduced visitor numbers due to climate change and natural disasters. You only have to see the effect of bad weather on an outside event. You know, it never used to happen. Like, I'm meaning that the weather was always there, but now we're, you know, we're a little bit concerned if it's going to be slightly stormy weather. Dispute resolution. There's a growing demand for help with unpaid invoices, leasing disagreements and farm mortgage issues, reflecting on heightened tensions and the need for stronger mediation and support services. Each of these challenges that I outlined, and there's so many, as I said, I couldn't report on all of them in this podcast. Each of these challenges not only affects the business owners themselves, but it ripples through the local economy. It impacts employees, suppliers, and the wider community well-being. Small businesses often juggle multiple roles simultaneously, and this amplifies the pressure and makes tailored support really essential. So what do small businesses need? Now, this was hard to group because every different business owner that I spoke to and small business advisor, you know, all had a slightly different answer to this question. But in a nutshell, it's really divided over probably, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because I'm reading off a script so I don't forget anything, 5 areas. So localised support, collaboration opportunities, affordable upskilling, flexible grant design, and advocacy and recognition. So the first one is localised support. Business owners at the end of the day want practical local advice, mentoring and training tailored to real challenges. Having somebody who understands the specifics of regional life and just running a business. How many people do you speak on the phone? They've never run a business before. You know, they want to make sure that they are getting advice that is going to make, well, I suppose the solutions that are made or suggested, you know, are going to be relevant and actionable. And this is especially needed with any type of business support or relief programs. And it's really needed with any grants or policies that are being formulated. Collaboration opportunities. Events, markets and festivals are so vital. They create jobs and direct economic impact, supporting entire communities. Group marketing, shared freight options and learning sessions can lift everyone, not just the largest players. So it really is about supporting our local events, our markets and our festivals, not only from a local perspective and a small business perspective, but it's really around that compliance and all levels of government supporting events, markets and festivals where they can. Affordable upskilling, digital marketing, automation, compliance and customer service remain key needs. You know, there's a real appetite and a real demand for bite-sized courses and hands-on workshops because these are especially valued by sole traders, for example, one sector, who are juggling busy lives. Flexible grant design, simplifying applications and aligning criteria with regional realities. This is a big one. Whether you happen to be a small business or a medium business or even just an event, you know, trying to fit into a potential grant criteria, you know, sometimes I know one size doesn't fit all, but, you know, just making sure that grants are more accessible and that they are unique and tailored to seasonal businesses just helps, I suppose, to ensure nobody's left behind. Advocacy and recognition. Businesses want decision makers to listen and recognise their essential work. There is a growing desire for regional voices to shape policies and programs so that government support feels meaningful and effective. And I think this is getting back to my idealisation that every business needs to be part of their small business group or their local chamber of commerce, and they have to have a really good relationship with local government so that there are people out there that listen to you and take your voice to the policymakers. So if you're a small business owner, know this, your voice does matter. And this report that I was very privileged to be able to hand over, and I was able to give a copy to local government, was built from feedback. You know, thank you to those business owners who gave up their time via email messages and the call. You know, I so appreciate your time and feedback. And if you're in local government or you're a funding body and you're actually listening to this or you're in state government, you know, please listen to your local small businesses. You know, Victorian small businesses show up every day and need support now more than ever. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're supporting local or you're listening to them or you're you're doing some advocacy work on their behalf. You know, pick up the phone, create surveys and ask the questions to help and guide any policy, because, you know, one of my biggest bugbears is policy mismatching. You know, sometimes I look at some policies and I think, what was this based on? This is so far removed to what reality is. You know, we need to make sure we're asking the questions and picking up the phone and talking to people. We need to be able to work together, you know, to build and maintain a resilient regional economy, one where, you know, small businesses can thrive and not just be in survival mode all the time. Thanks for listening to this special edition of the 5-Minute Business Boost. Cheerio, and I'll see you next week. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the 5-Minute Business Boost. For more information, follow me on socials, sign up for my newsie, or check out my website to see how we can work together to reach your small business goals. Remember, anything is possible, especially in the northeast of Victoria. Until next time, cheerio.